Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. This podcast series offers a fun and serious look at hypnosis and offers various ideas, discuss case studies, along with NGH educational opportunities. Hello, and welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. I'm Eric Damon with the National Guild of Hypnotists. We enjoy highlighting NGH members and their hypnosis practice from all around the world here on our podcast. So please welcome from Manhattan, New York, consulting hypnotist, Alexander Evin. Now you're a consulting hypnotist.
Yes, I am a consulting hypnotist.
And how long have you been a hypnotist?
Since 2012.
Now, I read the little background that I got from you, and you were born in Russia.
Uh-huh.
Where in Russia?
I was born in a small town called Stelitamak, which is part of Bashkiria. The capital of Bashkiria is Ufa. Maybe you heard about it. It's close. If you take a look on Ural Mountain, yes, above the globe, right? There is a Ural Mountain coming from the north to the earth, to the south, and there is a big cities like Chelyabinsk or Sverdlovsk, something like Volga River. So it's there. A lot of nationalities, like Asian nationalities, live there. Bashkirs, Tatars. So multinational the part of the Russia.
Now, how long did you live in Russia before you moved? I don't know if you moved to the U.S. right afterwards or somewhere else, but how long were you in Russia for?
So after high school, I finished high school at 16 years old. It was in 1979. I moved to Leningrad, which is St. Petersburg, right? And I spent there about 11 years. I went to university. Then I graduated in Institute, Textile Institute. In 1991, I just bought a one-way ticket to New York. I was so lucky because it still was the USSR. It was not easy to just buy ticket and flew whatever you want. So I got here having only $28 in my pocket and no one was waiting for me. So it was like adventure. I was 28 years old. My wife and my son stayed in St. Petersburg waiting for whatever I could help and to bring him here. And later, 6 months later, they came also. We're so happy because finally the whole family is here. And wow. we're still here, all of them.
That's quite a journey then.
All these years we're together having a good time.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And now, obviously, before we leave the Russia talking point, I wanted to ask, how is hypnosis seen in Russia?
Back in that time, I was not really interested in learning hypnosis at all, but I was reading good books. For example, as a kid, I read a book called Gymnastics for the Brains. Just imagine that 12 years old kid reading this book, learning meditate, how to meditate, how to quiet the mind, how to become a white sheet of paper, how to control own emotions. And then I learned about autogenic trainings. You know this kind of practice techniques. You can use it for stress reduction. I've been using it for myself since 1975. Imagine me as a kid lying in the bed before going to sleep, using self-hypnotic techniques to relax because I was afraid of darkness. And it's really helped me because I felt this is what I need. I can use it. And still, I didn't think to become a hypnotist because all I knew about hypnosis, somebody went to the hypnosis show And it was so funny, or it was so scary. Some hypnotist made something to participant, and they were not happy with this. And when I came to US, I've been working as a decorative painter. So I was good at painting signs and murals, and it was good business for me. Still, I didn't plan to become a hypnotist until the economics bad situation. 2007, the economy was going down, and slowly, step by step, slowly, my business become very, very not in demand anymore. Decorative painting is too expensive for people. They were not interested in this. And I, while on unemployment, I've been searching something that really could help me to become, maybe I could start new business. And sooner or later, I start reading more books about hypnosis. And I found information about National Guild of Hypnotists, because this is respectful organization, the oldest in the world. And somehow I find out that I can go and find a school and become a really certified hypnotist. And how I found Jacob Bimblich, because he was a certified instructor. And I...
Longtime member of the NGA.
So I start visiting his school, his classes, in right in his apartment, and it was nice time. And after that, finally, step by step, I start seeing good clients. They came to me, and this was good time. And answering your question, how Russian people see hypnosis today, I could say it's almost the same situation like everywhere in the world. Russia is not Soviet Union anymore. They have own hypnosis schools, own hypnosis institutes. They have gone teaching people and doing good results, working as a private hypnotist, whatever. But if you compare this situation today with what was back there in 60s, 70s in Russia, the big difference is hypnotherapists during the Soviet Union were, first of all, they were hypnotherapists as a medical practitioners, and they worked as excellent hypnotherapists. They've been supported by government. There was no private hypnotherapist working for himself. Mm-mm. So that hypnotherapy is really interesting, really, 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 interesting, because you can read the books today. You can find books written back there by those hypnotherapists and learn a lot from them, because that was real hypnotic, medical hypnosis. Not today. Today, everyone is doing own way, own style, trying to prove something to help somebody, but no more government support, of course.
So in Russia, pretty much a free for all when it comes to hypnosis.
That's it.
Yeah.
But I personally like to read books and compare what I know about hypnosis from American sources, from what I learned from Bimblich or by reading books, to what I know comparing to Russian books, and really interesting, two different approaches.
I'm sure there is. I mean, we have, obviously we have members all around the world, including Russia. So it's interesting that, the difference, but like you said, it happens no matter what country you're in, there's always something.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you. You have a practice in New York. Where in New York?
It's Manhattan. In Manhattan, Upper West Side. It sounds great, I mean, to you and for other people, good location. But I was lucky because I found the office 13 years ago really good office, but it was tiny office, really small office, part of the big office. And someone just shared with me that office, and I'm still there, paying not too much. It's nice. Really, I like it.
And now, after all these years and all your training, and obviously you must have a good set of clients. What is what do you deal with best when it comes to clients? Weight loss or stop smoking? Obviously, you can deal with everything as a hypnotist, but
yes, gotcha. I remember I was presenting the class or convention called Rapport is the Foundation of Successful Hypnosis. So I'm trained to pay attention. If there is a rapport, I can help a client with anything, almost any issue. And by experience, I know I mostly help people with anxiety, panic attacks, alcohol problem. And so I'd say number one specialty is alcohol problem. I help a lot of people just doing one session. Then I helped with a sleep problem. And smoking, of course, a lot of smoking, but my specialty is alcohol and sleep problem and panic attacks. That's it.
And that's the most that most of the issues that you deal with. But as we know, a hypnotist can work with everyday problems that they have. So I mean, it's amazing how you've been able to establish yourself in New York and kind of go through that roller coaster, if you will, of how you got there and met Jacob. You ended up taking his course, even though you had the other one prior, right?
And I remember that Jacob was so nice to his students. It was a small group, maybe 3 or 5 students, me and somebody else. He was making a lunch for us. He was feeding us. Hey, guys, eat this and that. And then we come back again to the class. All right. So I thought, what is going on? He's a hypnotist or just a family member?
Well, yeah, exactly. You can be a hypnotist and be a decent person. And then he definitely one of those people. And obviously in the NGH, we have lots of people, including yourself, who are decent people and try to take care of others and through hypnosis. And that's important. Now, so where do you see yourself with hypnosis? Where do you want to take your practice to? In the sense, do you want to expand it, or are you happy with what you're doing? And as you continue to bring on more new clients?
I am happy what I'm doing. And of course, I thought, what if I will become an instructor? And then I felt, hey, this is not me. I would become an instructor and teach people about hypnosis. But same time, I think, I feel much better if I work face-to-face with clients.
The good part is, you're with your clients, you have been successful for them as well. Yeah. So I mean, track record, so, which is important as you build your practice in New York. Obviously you're going to stay in New York. That's where you're going to retire, right? I mean, you've been there since you got here.
Yes. Because I have 2 granddaughters. They are 6 years old twins. My son lives with his family in New Jersey. And sometimes we visited them, and I see myself working here for another 10 or 20 years. Why not?
Yep.
This is what I like. This is what I can do now. This keeps me awake.
And you're happy doing that. Let me ask you, you mentioned at the beginning as we started talking, and I wasn't too familiar with the term of autogenic training.
Yes.
But as I looked into it, I understood what it was. But basically, it's relaxation exercises, for an easy definition.
But The really interesting thing is, Eric, if you find more information about it, it was the psychiatrist Schultz. I forgot his first name. 1940 something in Germany. Psychiatrist Schultz was an official psychotherapist because government, German government, was supporting hypnotherapy the same way like in Russia. Just imagine that during the Second World War, the hypnotherapist Schultz was busy helping German soldiers who suffered from panic attacks, from some strange delusions, whatever it was. He was really helpful. So he was successful. And then somehow he created a small version, simple version of self-hypnosis, because hypnosis back in that time, it was, oh, hypnosis is some strange word, it's power. So basically, I'm thinking now, what he's done, he created the same as it's called self-relaxation hypnosis technique, but under different name. That's it. If you practice, I'm practicing this, honestly, every day, 10 minutes. It was a routine back then and now, the same way. Close your eyes, relax, almost like a progressive muscle relaxation, plus suggestions, simple suggestions. I am ready to do this. I'm ready to see my client. I am happy with this and that. It helps to keep your mind focused. That's it. So basically, it's a hypnotic technique. But it's called autogenic training, and people get interested. Oh, it's not hypnosis, something better, something powerful. Okay, go ahead, learn, practice.
Well, it's almost like along the lines of starting with, especially if you're doing it yourself, it's self-hypnosis. But
and it was really popular back in Russia, back in that time, in the sport field. Olympic champions were doing this, believe me. All the time, for example, in 1980, Olympic team, I don't know what kind of Olympic team, but Russian team, they routinely been practicing autogenic training to get the results, to get like in the best mindset they could, and they won. They keep winning all the time.
Let me ask you a total non-hypnosis question.
Yep.
What does Alexander and your family do for fun? I mean, do you travel? Are you a pickleball player? Or do you like to climb mountains? What do you like to do?
First of all, every morning, me and my wife, we are running in Central Park. Running means we waking up and go to Central Park and run there about 10 minutes, which 1 mile, maybe a couple of miles. Then we walk long distance to coffee shops, having good coffee there. Coming back to Central Park and sitting there on the benches, watching birds, listening, wandering, talking. So we spend at least a couple hours every morning. Doesn't matter if it's raining or snowing. We're there. We're running, we're sitting, we're listening to birds. And also myself, I am a guitar player. Check it out. I've been playing guitar since a kid and still playing rock music.
Still do both. You can certainly write songs and always play them and see what happens. You never know.
And sometimes, maybe once or 2 years, me and my wife, we go in vacation in Miami, Florida. Before that, Hawaii. It was
nice.
Been in Hawaii maybe 5 times.
75 years ago, a lot of people, most people did not understand hypnosis and weren't using it as much. Whereas now it's really become a mainstay for people to go to help them, again, with everyday problems that they may be dealing with. So the great thing is with the 75th anniversary, it's great to talk to NGH members and get their take on how things are going for them and where they are, and just some general information like we did, talking and find out the guitar and all of this stuff. That's good for our members to hear about, and the public to hear about. That obviously, you know, hypnosis is your passion and what you concentrate on. You do every day, but you're a real person too that likes.
That's true.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us on our podcast.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. You're welcome to share your ideas for future podcasts by emailing us, nghpodcast@ngh.net.